Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Psalms 91 says this in verse number 1, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence." The Bible said in verse number 4, "He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His trust shall be thy shield," or His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Lord, I pray that You'd help us tonight. God, I pray, Lord, that You give us wisdom, Lord, on how You want us to preach tonight. Lord, if You want us to preach loud and wide open like we normally do, then that'll be fine. And Lord, if You just want us to, Lord, slow down tonight and talk more from our heart, Lord, the way that You give it to me this week as I study, Lord, then that's fine also. I just want to be obedient to You. God, You know the need of the service tonight, and I pray that Your will and way would be done. God, I thank You, Lord, for meeting with us in such a great, great way this morning. God, for manifesting Yourself to us in both of the services. But God, we've come again tonight, and we need a fresh touch, God. Lord, I pray, God, that You'd help us and give us, Lord, wisdom tonight as we preach. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. I want to look into these verses probably just stay mainly in verse number 1 and verse number 2 tonight and talk to you about this. I mentioned a little bit about it this morning, but talk to you about this. When the heat is on. When the heat is on. There's a lot of times in our life that we feel that the heat is on. And if you know what I'm saying, you understand what I'm saying. You've heard that terminology used in days gone by. And when we get in trouble or things are just not going our way, you'll hear somebody say, "Man, the heat is on right now." When the heat is on in our life, I'm glad that there are some things that we can do. And there is a person that we can turn to that can help us in our times of trouble. I thought about this, and I know I've said some of this many times, but I thought about this. Job said, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of troubles." There'll be a lot of heartaches in our life. There'll be a lot of troubles in our life. There'll be a lot of days in our life where we have bad days, and there'll be times that we have bad weeks, and there'll be times that we have bad months. But when the heat is on in our life, when we come to Psalms 91, it's very interesting to study Psalms 90 and Psalms 91 together. There's a lot of things that really contrast and very interesting contrast between Psalms 90 in Psalms 91. Let me show you a few of them. In Psalms 90, we see the briefness of life. We see the briefness of life. Boy, how true that is. I made mention of that in the early service this morning, and how our children grow up so fast, and the briefness of life we see in Psalms 90. In Psalms 91, we find the longevity of life that we have from the Lord. In other words, the briefness of this earthly life, but in Psalms 91, we find that there is an eternal life from the Lord. Amen. In Psalms 90, focuses on the difficulties of life, while Psalms 91 deals with the dangers of life. In Psalms 90, fear and trouble plague the soul, while in this chapter, the soul is no longer afraid. In Psalms 90, man is withering beneath God's anger against sin, while in Psalms 91, he is enabled to tread beneath his feet the lion and the adder. In Psalms 90, we find the prayer of satisfaction. And in Psalms 91, we find the promise of satisfaction. And we can find that in the Lord tonight. We can find complete satisfaction. We can find complete help. we can find complete hope in the Lord tonight. It'll not come in this world. It'll not come through the people of this world. But I sure am glad that we can find it in the Lord tonight, and we can find it in His Word. It is believed that Moses is the writer of Psalms 90 and Psalms 91. Whenever you study it out, and it was written, this Psalms, during the wilderness journey. Matter of fact, one writer or several writers says it was probably written shortly after the plague of the fiery serpents, when the children of Israel had returned to the Lord. You think about that story of those fiery serpents that had came out upon them, and Moses took that one and put it upon the rod and lifted it up, and if they looked to that serpent that they could live, that was lifted up on the pole that day. You think about that great time and how many probably even died during that time, and all of that turmoil that they went through during that time and that wilderness experience. And then think about this: He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Moses in his experience, Moses in his wilderness experience, Moses in his Egypt experience, Moses in his Marah experience, Moses in his crossing the Red Sea experience, Moses even in his Elam experience, and all that he had been through, was a good writer to say something like this: He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. One writer said this about Psalms 91: the subject of this psalm is the security of the man who thoroughly trusts in God. In it we find several voices speaking. There is someone spoke to in the pronouns thee, thou, and thy. There is someone speaking in the pronouns I and my. And there is someone spoken of in the pronouns he and them. The question that needs answering is, who are the speakers, the spoken to, and the spoken of in Psalms 91? It would seem that the psalmist, the Son of God, and God Himself each speak here in Psalms 91. God Himself and the Son of God, and Moses, if he is the writer, is the one speaking here in Psalms 91. I would say this: when studying it, four of the names of God are found here in Psalms 91, whenever you study it in depth. And can I say to you tonight, Moses is a good one to write about God. Moses had seen what God could do. Moses had seen the Shekinah of glory of God. Moses got a glimpse of God's glory. Moses knew about him saying, when he went to Pharaoh to tell him, the I am that I am hath sent thee. Moses knew something about God. Moses knew something about the power of God. Moses knew something about the presence of God. Moses knew something about the long suffering of God. And Moses was somebody good to write about when the heat is on, what to do in your life. When the heat is on, I thought about this. This morning we talked about several things in that introduction. I really didn't preach on it, but we talked about it. And in this great psalm, we learn about our Savior, but also we see some of the problem with Satan. Whenever you go to your Bible, to the New Testament, in Matthew chapter number 4, you remember that wilderness experience that the Lord had, and the devil came to him and the devil tempted him. Whenever you study that out in Matthew chapter number 4, you'll find out that Satan quotes Psalms 91:11 to Jesus in Matthew chapter number 4. And can I say this? With everything that God wants to help you with, Satan will try his best to turn every bit of that around and make something completely different out of it in our life. when the heat is on. I want you to see this tonight, and I'll just give you one point. I know I'll not preach all of it tonight, but I'll give you the first point of it tonight, and then maybe next Sunday we'll conclude it. I see this, number one, in verse number 1 and 2 in Psalms 91. I see the fortress where we flee. The fortress that we can run to. The place where we can go. I thought about years ago, we used to do a lot of disaster relief stuff. We've been to a lot of different disaster zones and helped them and took food and worked there and worked on houses and different things like that. And I began to think about this fortress. And here's what the word fortress means. It means a fort, a stronghold, a place of defense, or security. It's a place that we can go to. And I'll never forget, we was in Mississippi several years ago when one of those tornadoes had came through, and there were several places that their homes was just completely destroyed. When I say completely destroyed, I mean completely wiped away. There was nothing there. There was just a cement pad there, and that was it. And I'll never forget, we got to looking and back in behind some of those places, you would see a place on the ground that looked like a door. I began to talk to those people, and here's what I found out. They had shelters that they could go to. They could go back there whenever the storm warning came out. They could open that door, and they could go underground. And because of that, their life was saved from the storm. Can I say this to you tonight? When the storm begins to rage in our life, and troubles begins to come in our life, and when it feels the heat is on in our life, I'm glad that I can report to you tonight that we have a fortress that we can run to. We have a place that we can go. I'm glad God did not leave us comfortless. I'm glad that we don't have to stumble through this life wondering how we're going to make it. I may not know what tomorrow holds, but I do know who holds tomorrow. I do know that there's a place when the heat is on that I can run to in my time of need. Look what he said in verse 1 and 2. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. I thought about what the psalmist said in Psalms 18:2. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength. In whom will I trust? The buckler, or my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. He said this in verse 35 of Psalms 18. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation. We have a fortress that we can run to. I want to look right there in verse number 1 and show you a couple things on this fortress where we can flee. Think about this. There is, I want to show you 3 things right here. I see the person tonight. The person tonight. What did the Bible say in verse number 1? He. Psalms 91:1 says he. That's what he says. Now, think about this. That is not dealing with the Savior. He right there is not the Savior. He right there is not God. It's not the Father. It's not the Son. It's not the Holy Ghost. What did he say? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. That person, that he right there, if you write in your Bible, you can circle that and draw your little arrow out and say it this way, me. That is who he is dealing with right there. That he is the individual person. What is he saying? He that dwelleth. Who is the he? That's you and that's me tonight. Look at the whole verse. He that dwelleth in the secret place. We as the saved have the opportunity. Think about this tonight. We as the saved have the opportunity to dwell dwell in the secret place. There's a lot of places that I can take my wife. There's a lot of places I can take my children. I thought about this. We was eating with the Alverson family today. And he told me, he said, "Brother, when we get over there, we would love for your family to come see us." And I told him, I was as honest as I could be. I said, "Man, I hadn't even gone to the mission field, hadn't crossed my mind in several years." I said, "But I'm very interested in coming to Scotland and seeing y'all." He told us about a camp meeting that they was going to do. And he said, "Man, we would love to have y'all come." And has anybody in here ever been to Scotland besides me? Anybody? Man, it's a beautiful place. It's a beautiful place. And I thought, man, I would love to go over there and try to be a help to that missionary for a few days and take my family and allow them to see that mission field. I can take them there. I can load them up tonight and I can drive them to Pigeon Forge. I can load them up tonight. I can drive them to see the white beaches of Florida. I can take them a lot of places. I can even take them to my place where I pray. But it is up to them as an individual to enter into that secret place. I can't take you to the secret place. It'll be you that takes that time alone with God and prays with God. But the good news is this, just like I can go to the secret place, you can go to the secret place tonight. I see the person in this. We have a fortress, and it's up to us to go to it. It's up to us to go to it. There's just some things. There's just some. Yesterday, I could drive Madeline to Asheville. I could drive her to where she was going to test at, Miss Dawn, and I did. I could pray with her. I could watch her open the door and go inside. Matter of fact, I probably could have sat in the lobby if I'd have wanted to. But when it come time for her to go in that classroom and take that written test, I couldn't go in there with her. I couldn't help her do that. When it took time or came time for her to go do her practical part, I couldn't go in there and say, "Do this, this, and this." She had to do that on her own. It's the same way when it comes to dwelling in the secret place. The preacher can preach about it. You can hear somebody testify about it. We can tell you there's a place of peace and joy and happiness and calmness, but it's up to you as the individual to get to that place. It's up to you. So I see the person right here, but watch this in verse number one. Not only the person, he, but watch this. That dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. I see the place. The place tonight. Where is the place of that fortress? The secret place of the Most High. Now, note what he said. Here's what he said. Not just any secret place. Not just any. Y'all remember when you was young and you played hide and go seek. Anybody ever played? Am I the only one that's ever played that? Anybody? Come on now, let's be honest. Played hide and Kaylee, you've never played hide and go seek. Man, you just hang around tonight after church and we'll teach you about hide and go seek and snipe hunting, okay? But anybody ever been snipe hunting? Oh, everybody needs to go snipe hunting, don't they, Brother Will? But anyway, think about this with me tonight. When I think about the secret place, whenever you played hide and go seek, you had a secret place that you went and hid at. You went and hid at. I was walking Miss Stephanie, who was up here working the other day, and Brooke and Peyton was with her, and Victoria had came up to play with them. And I was walking down the hall, and all of a sudden there was a hand came out from underneath the door, the fingers of it. And I thought, what in the devil? I mean, you know, it's just not common that you're walking down the hall, Brother Andy, and fingers come out from underneath the bottom of the door. And about the time they did, I took a step and they jerked them back. I guess they heard my footprints. Or my footsteps. And Victoria or Peyton, one come around the corner and said, "Have you seen Brooke?"
I ain't got a clue where she's at. I didn't know if that was Brooke's fingers. It might have been the devil's fingers. I didn't know. I wasn't opening the door to see whose fingers it was. You know what it was? They was in a secret place. But know what he says right here. He that dwelleth in the secret place, one writer that I read after, left out, Brother Dakota, when he was dealing with this, left out this phrase, of the Most High. It's not just any secret place. It's the secret place of the Most High. It's not just your favorite place. There's some places that I love to go. There's two or three spots in Allegheny County that I absolutely love to go. I love to go up on the parkway and go out the parkway to the Fox Hunter's Paradise Overlook. And matter of fact, several people was talking about a fire back over that way. And after service tonight, I'm going to ride up there to Fox Hunter's Paradise and walk, even though the gate's closed, I'm going to walk out there to the top and look out over that and see if I can see it and get some pictures of it. I love to go. There's peace and tranquility sitting up there on a cold day by yourself just looking over the mountains. Brother Tim, I love to go up here in the mountain and hike off the backside of it in there to that rock. But can I say something? It's not just any secret place. It's the secret place, what did he say, of the Most High. The secret place of the Most High. When I read that, here's exactly, and I talked about this just a little bit this morning, but here's exactly what went to my mind. And I read after, I don't know, 10 or 15 authors on this verse. And a couple of them mentioned this. But here's exactly what went to my mind. Because I kept digging on it. I kept digging on it. Here's exactly what went to my mind. That holies of holies in that Old Testament tabernacle. That secret place that nobody but the high priest could go to. He was the only one that was allowed in there, Brother Dakota, once a year. He was allowed to go beyond that veil and to get into the Shekinah glory of God. And you know what the writer of Psalms is saying to us? He that dwelleth in the secret place. You want me to tell you how to have comfort? You want me to tell you how to have peace? You want me to tell you what to do when the heat is on and you really don't know what to do with your life? If you'll get to the secret place and dwell in the glory and in the Shekinah glory of God, if you'll get to where he's at, the place, I promise you, you'll find help in your time of need. Watch this. You not only see the person, you see the place, but I want you to see the privilege. Don't you see the privilege? Look what he said. We're talking about that fortress when the heat is on. Look at what he said. Again, in verse number 1, he, the person that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I see this, number 3, the privilege. The privilege. I told that family yesterday, I got up early. I took Madeline and dropped her off. Man, they had a big old supper fixed on Friday night, and I got back from dropping Madeline off, and I went in the little study that they had there. It's just a great place to stay. I went in a little study there, and I began studying for today, and just a little while, Miss Leslie said, "Honey, Miss Vicky's got some breakfast ready." And I said, all right. And man, I walked in there and she had one more breakfast fix. She had a breakfast casserole that was unreal. Had ham and bacon. No, it wasn't ham. It was sausage and bacon and cheese and onions and peppers. And see, when you put onions and peppers with sausage and bacon, it makes it all healthy. And cheese and I'm home. She had danishes with jelly on them. She had all kinds of fruit. She had her own whip. She makes her own whipped cream. And then she had all kinds of dried fruit. She makes all of that herself. She's one of these people that makes a lot of things herself, one of these healthy people. And man, I'm telling you, they was a spread laid out. There was a spread laid out. we eat, and Olivia, I in there, and she had her plate. Her plate looked like Bones at homecoming years ago. I'm telling you, it was round. Some of y'all don't have a clue who Bones is, but some of y'all do, don't you, Brother Will? Look, that it looked like it was rounded over. And I had never in my life seen so much whipped cream on a plate. And I didn't know you eat whipped cream on a breakfast casserole, but evidently you eat whipped cream on everything if you're Olivia. But we sit down and we eat. Man, we got done eating, and I drank a big old cup of coffee, and Olivia said, I think I'm going to get me a cup of coffee. Miss Vicky said, well, honey, come on. I'll fix you a cup of coffee. Come on. And they went in there, and they was gone, and they was gone, and they was gone. I took my plate, and I set it down in there. And when I took my plate and set it down in there, there was whipped cream out. There was chocolate syrup out. And Olivia come back in there, and it looked like Pilot Mountain in a coffee cup. I said, that ain't coffee. Give me a drink of that. And man, I'm going to tell you what I did. It was about better than Paige's. I don't know what all she had in that thing. But boy, she had made her a concoction up. And we sat there and we laughed and we cut up and we talked. We went downstairs and looked at all the street rods the guy had. And we laughed about that. And he had a 67 Corvette with a big block in it. And he started it up, had side pipes on it. And he started it up and let Olivia listen to it. And her eyes was just about that big. And I was thinking, man, if I had that thing in the road, I could hit second gear in that thing and black the road up. And we left, and here's what we said. It was a privilege to stay with y'all. Thank you so much for showing us the hospitality you did. It was a privilege. You understand what I'm saying, and I think about this with me. Here's what he said. He that dwelleth in the secret place. Not, look, this privilege. Matter of fact, here's what Spurgeon said about this privilege. Come start playing softly. Here's what Spurgeon said about this privilege. It's for the elect of the elect. And then he went on to say this. He said, it's for, and he wasn't talking about Calvinism right there. We believe it's a whosoever will salvation. Say amen. So don't let that word elect scare you that I just used. Here's what he was saying. He said, it's for the saved man that's living the abundant life. He said, there's a lot of saved that never dwells in the secret place. They get saved. They pass by the secret place on occasion, but they never dwell there. They never dwell there. The word dwelleth not only means to dwell, but here's what it means: to sit down and make yourself at home. That's what it means. To sit down and make yourself at home. The word speaks of consistency and comfort. The place you dwell is the place you consistently live every day. For most people, it is their home, a place they are comfortable more than any other place. I'm more comfortable at my house than I am anywhere else. Now, whenever I walked into that family's house on Friday, first thing I done was kick my shoes off because it was beautiful, man. That's the first thing I done. I just kicked my shoes off. And one of the girls said something about my feet stinking. I said, my notes don't work no more, so I don't smell nothing. But you just don't kick your feet off, your shoes off. You kick your feet off, you got a problem, Jack. You just don't kick your shoes off just anywhere. But I felt comfortable, Brother Josh. I kicked my shoes off. Ended up sitting on the couch, and they had a little men pen dog in the house and playing with it, and just I felt at home. But I was not as much at home as I am at my house. That dwelleth, here's what he's saying, is that you dwell there. It's a place of consistency. And the privilege that is promised here is this: shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That privilege is only promised to that person that dwelleth consistently in the secret place. It's a life. It's not a place that we visit once a day. It's a life. Our life is lived in the secret place. Here's the reason he said this. To pray without ceasing. When you're praying without ceasing, you're living in the secret place. I hope you're getting what I'm telling you tonight. There is a promise to that person. And here's what that promise is. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. To be in the shadow. Brother Robert is not in my shadow. I'm not in Brother Robert's shadow. Now, Brother Robert's in my shadow. In other words, to be in the shadow of something, you got to be real close to it. Distance from God is danger for the saved. Can I say that again? Distance from God is danger for the saved. And here is the promise that we can abide in His shadow if we're dwelling in the secret place. See, when sin comes into our life, it halts our relationship with God, and we're no longer in that secret place. But once that fellowship is restored, we now have a promise that we can abide in the shadow. In the shadow. When you think about this, you're in the shadow of somebody. Right now, he's in my shadow, and I'm pretty much in his shadow. And if it was complete silence in this room, you know what? I'd hear him breathing, and he'd hear me breathing. Let me tell you the reason why. The closeness that's there. The closeness that's there. And here's what God says does. If you'll abide, and he that abideth, that's you and me. If you'll abide in that, when the heat is on, there's a fortress. It says that we'll abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Can I give this to you? Shadow living. I thought about that, and here's some things I wrote down. Shadow living. It's not shadow living. This is shadow living. Here's what I wrote down about shadow living. The writer is saying that we dwell in the shadow of the Almighty. Shadow living is dictated by the direction of another. You that was in the 9 o'clock service heard me preach on the faith of somebody this morning. Who did I preach on the faith of this morning? Well, y'all listened real good. Abraham, Miss Kelsey, listened. Everybody else was trying to find Hebrews 11, verse number 8. Abraham. And Abraham, by faith, journeyed to a new place. Shadow living is dictated by the direction of somebody else. Come here, Olivia. Stand up here with me. Stand up here. You see my shadow right here? See, you're in it right there. Now make sure you stay in my shadow. It's over here. So stay in it. You see it right there? Yeah. All right, now stay in my shadow. You're not there. Come on now. You want to preach a little bit? Okay. You say, preacher, what are you saying? Her direction is dictated by somebody else. When you... Y'all ready to go home, and I really just want to start preaching. When we're living in the shadow of Him, there's times, Brother Dakota, that if we're dwelling in that shadow will move. Can I say it this way? The children of Israel didn't have the Holy Ghost to lead them, but God gave them a cloud to lead them by day and a cloud of fire to lead them by night. And you know what that cloud done? That cloud led them to Marah, bitterness. But that cloud led them past Marah to Elam. Now they could have got mad at bitterness back there and stayed there and missed out on Elam. 12 wells of water and 70 and 70 palm trees. Exodus 15, read it when you get home. But you know what they done? They followed the cloud. And in our shadow living and dwelling in that secret place, there's times that shadow will lead us places that we don't understand, but we're still in our fortress. We got done eating today. And we took the preacher and his wife and kids to Little Italy, and we got done eating. And whenever I come out from Little Italy, I seen the door raised where the SWAT truck was at, the MRAP. And if you've not seen it, it's huge. It's a great old big truck that we've got at the sheriff's office. And I looked, and one of our officers was in it. Well, I pulled over, and Leslie said, "Please don't stay here all day." I don't know why she says things like that. "I want to go home." I said, "I'm not going to stay all day, but I'm going to talk to him a minute." And here's what I thought about. Man, if you was to get in that thing and ride around, you in a fortress. You in a mobile fortress. And can I say something tonight? When we're following that shadow, when we're staying where he leads, church, we're in a fortress. Shadow living speaks of, listen to this, difference in submission. I had to help her with her submission a while ago. Did y'all see that? I went and she stayed. Shadow living is you submitting to the direction of someone. Watch this. Shadow living demands patience. Sometimes you want the shadow to go. He says, "Stop." I thought about this. Shadow living may involve danger or possibly even death. But when you're in his shadow, we're just walking through the shadow of the valley of death. It's a privilege to live the shadow life. Listen to Psalms 37:25. "I've been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor its seed begging bread." There is the person, there is the place, and there's the privilege of a fortress tonight.